Let's try one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, that's much better. It's good to see you this morning. I don't know what it is, something about a horse race and rain that just doesn't draw the crowd, I guess. I don't know, but we want to be in prayer for those of our brothers and sisters in Christ that are not here this morning. We do have some of our brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone through a very difficult week. And we want to uplift them and we want to remember them. And I think it's no coincidence at all. You know, God works in important ways. And I feel like this sermon series that we have gone through with the book of Job has probably, at least I hope, has been able to help some as they are enduring and going through times and periods of suffering. And this morning, we're going to be closing out this sermon series that we've gone through for about 6 weeks now, looking and talking about this topic of suffering and what do we do when we suffer? How do we manage it? How do we deal with it? And this morning, we're going to talk about how we respond to a powerful and a loving God. We're going to look at Job's response here in Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42, we're going to read together verses 1 through 6, and you may remember these verses. We shared and we actually read them last week at the close of last week's message. And we're kind of going to look. These are actually some of the last words that Job spoke of his own mouth, and God kind of finished out the rest. And we're going to talk about how that Job kind of comes full circle from this man who that God said is my humble and my faithful servant. Have you thought of Job? Have you looked at Job? To a man who has been tested, to a man who has lost all of his children, all of his finances, all of his wealth, all of his property, a man who has suffered physically, a man who has suffered emotionally, and a man who was to the point that he was questioning his faith and his relationship with God. Now to a man who will say, Lord, I have heard you of you with my ears, he says, but now I see you with my eyes. And we see how that Job responded appropriately to a powerful and a loving God. So stand with me this morning as we give honor and reverence to the reading of His Word. Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. Let's read these words. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. He said, Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I do not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear and I will speak. I will question you and you make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come this morning and we thank you for this day. Lord, even though it may not be the beautiful sunshine that we've had over the last few Sundays, Lord, we are still thankful to be in your house regardless of the weather. Lord, it's yet another day that you have made, and Lord, I pray that we rejoice and make glad in it. Lord, Father, I pray for those this morning who are hurting. And I know that we have brothers and sisters in Christ, those amongst our church family who this morning are hurting. Lord, they truly are suffering through loss. And Lord, I uplift them to you and I pray for them, Father. Lord, I pray that you would give them strength, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would comfort and give them peace in the time when it may feel like there is no possibility of peace. Lord, I pray for others here this morning who are going through other situations, Lord, but still yet suffering nonetheless, going through some of the most trying and difficult times of their lives. Lord, Father, I pray that you touch them in a way like only you know how. And Lord, Father, this morning I pray that as a body of believers that you would teach us the most appropriate way of how to respond to your power and how to respond to your love. Lord, Father, I pray today if there's somebody here beneath the sound of my voice who's never known you in the free pardon of sin, Lord, somebody who's never invited you into their heart and their life, then Lord, before it's everlasting too late, I pray that they'd come and give their life to you and they'd be saved. Lord, Father, I pray likewise for those, Lord, this morning who may be in a position where they need a rededication. Lord, they need a strengthening of their relationship with you. Lord, I pray that they'll come. Lord, maybe there are others here this morning who have burdens upon their hearts, burdens for those that are lost, burdens for those who suffer, burdens for their church. Lord, Father, I pray that they'll come this morning. Lord, I pray that You speak to our hearts and that, Lord, Your Spirit, You move freely. Lord, I pray that You but use me as a mouthpiece and a tool and nothing more. Lord, I pray that You preach me as a dying man to a lost and a dying world. So, Lord, it's all this we give to You this morning. It's in Your holy, precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen. You know, Job starts out in these verses and he talks about the power of God. He talks about how that God's power and His purpose is so great that it cannot even be thwarted. We see that we serve a powerful God. Job understood, not just through the hearing of the ear anymore, but also through his very own eyes and through his own experience. He's seen and understood how powerful that God really was. And we do serve a powerful God, amen? And I hope that's something that we as a body of believers would see and understand. How do we respond to a powerful and a loving God? I believe it's important that we as believers respond as Job did. And the first thing I want us to see and share this morning is this, is that our God is so powerful that a healthy response is sometimes fear. You think, why should I serve a God with whom that I should have to fear? But I tell you this, we serve a God who is so powerful that a healthy fear is sometimes appropriate. You know, a lot of times we get a little confused. We read something, especially in the Old Testament or maybe even the New, we read something and we may not always understand exactly what a word really means. And a lot of times when we think of the word fear, we want to automatically assume that fear should mean we should look at God and we should fear Him, meaning that we should be trembling and afraid. But I want you to understand something about this word fear. Is in the Old Testament and the New Testament alike, it doesn't just mean fear in the sense that we know it and understand it. But when we say that we should have a healthy and an appropriate fear of God, it means replacing that word maybe to say this, respect or awe. We serve a God who is worthy to be respected. We serve a God whom when we look on Him, we truly should really be in awe. And Job was in awe, and Job really saw how powerful that God was. In Job chapter 38 verse 1, I hadn't shared this verse with you before, but when God came and spoke to Job, this is the experience that he had. And the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind or a storm and said, so we see that God comes to Job and He speaks to him. And literally, in some of the verses that we read last week, Job said, I was carried on the wind. He was carried in the storm. So Job's experience with interacting with a powerful God was he saw God through a mighty storm. And throughout the Word of God, we see different examples of people who literally see God. Adam and Eve in the garden after they fell in their sin, literally, they saw God and it says that they were fearful. We think about Moses and his experiences twice at least, experiencing seeing God. We know that God's presence through the burning bush was so great that Moses could barely stand in its presence. We know that later in life on the mountain, when God's glory shone round about Job, that he could not even look at the glory of God. We know that Gideon was so impressed with the glories of God that he questioned his calling. We know that Paul's experience with God and seeing God was so great on the road to Damascus that it took 3 days for Paul, a man who was then Saul, to be able to see again. You see, experiencing God is a powerful occasion. And one thing that we see in all of these experiences is all of these men, all of these women took their experiences with God very seriously. Amen? Could you imagine standing before the very presence of God? I don't believe that it'd be possible that a mortal man could stand before the presence of God on this side of glory and be able to look at the vast glory of God as it shows round about him. That's how glorious and how mighty and how powerful that the God we serve really is. So you see, we serve a God who is so powerful that a healthy fear or an awe or respect of him is due unto his name. You see, Adam and Eve, Moses, Gideon, Paul, all these other examples throughout the Word of God, they looked upon God with respect and with awe. In Psalm chapter 33, verses 6 through 9, the Word of God says it this way. The psalmist wrote, he says, "By the Word of the Lord, the heavens were made." Now think of this. By the Word of the Lord, when God spoke, the heavens were made. And by the breath of His mouth, all of their hosts, those in heaven, He gathered the waters of the seas as a heap, and He put depths in the storehouse. He says, "Let all of the earth fear the Lord." Now we could look at that word fear, and then we can put that word in there just like I shared with you, respect or awe. Let all of the earth respect and have awe of the Lord. Let all of the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. You see, it says that God spoke into existence the heavens. In the King James Version, it said that He breathed into the host of heavens the very breath of life. You know, God is the creator of life here on this earth. God created man. He created Adam, and then from Adam He took part of him and created woman. But I love that story in the book of Genesis, how that God from the very dust of the earth created this man in His own image, and He breathed into man the breath of life. We serve a God who has the ability to not just make, but to create. Amen? We serve a God whom, when we look upon Him, He is a God who deserves all of our respect and all of our awe, because when He speaks, it happens. When He commands, it stands firm. I think of another verse of Scripture in Psalms 111, verse 10. He says, "For the fear or respect of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom." All those who practice it, meaning to have respect or awe of the Lord, all of those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. And then in the book of Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, we see yet again, the fear or the respect and awe of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. He says there again, the psalmist, in Proverbs, Samuel says in chapter 9 verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." And in chapter 15, verse 33, he says, "The fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor." He says fear, a healthy fear, a good respect of God, is the beginning of knowledge. You see, it's not a bad thing when we look at it in that perspective, that we serve a God who we should have a healthy fear of His power and His ability. We should have a respect for who that God is, what He can do, that He is the Creator of all things, that He is the God of heaven and earth, that He is the Creator of life, and that through His love He gave us His Son, so that we might go free if we truly believe in Him. You see, it's not just about having respect and awe for Him because He's worthy of it. But in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, we learn that it is our duty. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, it says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Fear, respect God, and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of man. Think about that. Think about that. Our duty as man is to have fear and respect for God, to stand in awe of God and who He is, what He is, and what He can ultimately do. And we've got a great burden that we would teach our children, that we would teach this world to have that same fear and that same respect and that same awe of God. And you know what? I find it troubling that for a lot of people today, a lot of young people, a lot of people growing up, they're just not being taught about having that healthy, appropriate respect and awe of God. I don't know if you've noticed that, and I'm not just harping on young people. I'm harping on people my age and a little bit older than me, a little bit younger than me, kind of everybody in between. But it seems like over the years, we begin to lose our healthy respect for who God is and what God can do. You know, I seen something the other day, and it said basically this, you know, less than 2% of students will become professional athletes. Less than 2% of students will become professional athletes, but 100% of students will stand before God one day. Now, let that sink in. And we could replace athletes with business professional, rich people. I mean, you could replace all kinds of things to go in that scenario. Going to be a lot of people who try to achieve and make a lot of things for themselves in their life, and they may never make it. But one day, I guarantee you'll stand before an almighty God. Absolutely, undoubtedly, you'll stand before an almighty God. And I'll say this, if you don't have a healthy fear and a healthy respect for God now, you will when you stand in His presence. We learn from Job that God is so powerful that we should have a healthy fear and respect. But I believe that we also learn this lesson about God and who that He is from these verses that we've read in Job and through these messages over the last several weeks. I believe that we learn that our God's love is so great that His magnificent gift to us is grace. God's love is so great that His magnificent gift to us is His grace. You see, man didn't deserve grace. I don't deserve grace, and I'll go as far as to say, you don't deserve grace. Because I didn't do anything to obtain grace. I've not been good enough. I've not been worthy enough. I've not lived a great enough life. I've not been the Christian that I should have been. I've not been the husband that I should have been. I've not been the man of God that I should have been. I have fallen short in so many ways and in so many aspects of my life that I just don't deserve to really ever stand in the presence of God and be deemed as worthy to spend eternity in a place called heaven with Him. But you see, God's love is so great that His gift to us is grace. And I think about Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For He says, all have sinned and they fall short of the glory of God. That's you, and that's me, and that's everybody in this world. For all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. You know what that means? That means that none of us is ever going to get out alive. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, I don't have it there, but I'll quote the verse to you. It says, for the wages of sin is death. For all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. You see, as mankind, we deserve death. Job deserved death because he doubted God in the end. He questioned of God in all of His magnificence and all of His glory. He questioned of God. He broke because he just couldn't take it anymore. And he questioned God in what he was doing and why did he deserve what he was enduring in his life. When in reality, God wasn't doing anything to Job. He wasn't being tested of God. Satan was testing him. Job didn't deserve grace. I don't deserve grace. You don't deserve it. Why? Because all have sinned and we every single one fall short of the glory of God. But look at this next verse. Look at what verse 24 says. But he says we are justified by His grace. Not of anything that I did, not of anything that you will ever do. But we are justified by Him, as a gift, it says. Not just is it something that He gives us But He gives us as a gift freely that through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus and the life that He's given for us, we can have a free gift of grace. You know what that means? That means you don't owe one red cent. It means you don't have to pay one thing for what Christ has done for you. And you know what? That's a great thing. You know why? Because how would you ever repay it? What could you do in your life that will ever make it good enough? What could you do in your life that will ever set it straight? What price could you pay that would ever make you worthy to stand before God and say, I have paid my sin debts? There's no way. The Word of God says, for there is no other name under heaven for by which man must be saved. Your name will never do it. Your good deeds will never do it. Your good attitude will never do it. Being a good neighbor will never do it. Being a Christian who comes and sits in the pew every single Sunday will never do it. It requires that grace gift through the redemption that is Christ Jesus. I think about Paul and his writings in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, he talks about coming to the very throne of God. And this is what he says. He says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Let us then with confidence. That's the great thing about God. God in His grace and God in His mercy and God in His love. He says that we can draw near unto Him with confidence. You see, that's kind of the opposite perspective of what we would think about when we talk about having a healthy fear of God. How could we come to a God with whom we are supposed to fear with confidence? But if we come with that healthy respect and awe and reverence of God, He says that we can come with confidence to Him and draw near to the throne of grace, that we can receive mercy and we can find a grace that will help us in the time of need. You know, there are people right now in our church family that are going through some of their greatest times of need. And you may not even know about it. You may have zero clue and zero understanding about what they're enduring and what they're going through. Some of them have just so recently lost a child through terrible circumstances. Some of them are going through loss of family. It feels like their homes maybe are torn apart. Some folks are just going through the feelings of what it might be like to lose their home physically. Some have recently lost jobs. There's all these kinds of stresses in life about their children, about their family, about their home life. But you see, we can come to the throne of grace with confidence. Why? Because we serve a God whose grace is so magnificent and so mighty that we can call on Him in our greatest moments, in our greatest hours of need. And Job did that. You see, when Job finally got to the point where he just couldn't anymore, he finally looked at God and he finally realized that God is a God who deserves awe and respect. He realized that God was a God whose purpose and plan could never be thwarted. And he says, God, I don't just hear about You anymore. He says, but now I see You. God's love is so great that we can accept it with confidence. Amen? Accept it with confidence. I know a lot of people who say, I don't deserve it, and I'm unworthy. And you know what? You're right. I don't deserve it and I'm unworthy too. But God's love and mercy is so great that He wants to have that relationship with us. And He wants to have that relationship with you. The last thing that I think we should share and learn about from Job, and we're going to get ready to close and close quickly, is this. You see, the God we serve, He's God. Not God with a little g, but God with a big G. Anybody learn that in school? You learn that in English class. You talk about the differences in God. You see sometimes God written with a little g and sometimes with a little g and an s to mean gods as in many or multiples. Well, you see, we serve a God whom when you read His name, the G is always capitalized. And when we talk about and write about Christ and we say His or Him, that H is always capitalized. Why? Because He is God. And because He is God, obedience is the only response that makes sense. You see, Job broke down and was obedient to God. You know, after Job shared those words and says, you know, I see, not just here, but now I see. And he said, I repent of having ever had the thoughts that I did. In the verses that lead up next, Job is asked to do something. Job is asked to go to his friends and to forgive them. Remember what Job's friends did to him? You see, Job's friends told him, Job, you are a sinner. Job, you have iniquity on your hands. Job, you have iniquity in your house. Because of what you have done, Job, your children have died. You are reaping everything that you have sown in your life. God told Job to go and forgive his friends. You know what Job did? Job went and forgave his friends. He was obedient to what God asked him to do. Could you imagine how difficult that would be to tell a man who told you that all 8 of your children died because of you and your bad decisions, Job? Could you imagine what that would be like to go to that man and say, I forgive you? I think about Christ in the Passover when He washed the feet of His disciples. He washed the feet of a man with whom He already knew that He was going to deny Him 3 times. He washed the feet of another man of whom He knew had already betrayed Him for 40 pieces of silver. Sat at a table with him, shared the Passover, and then he washed his feet. And then he washed the feet of the other disciples whom he knew would be scattered abroad at his death, save one, John, who would be there present with Mary, his mother. Let me tell you something. That is the epitome and the example of forgiveness. Christ forgave them and He even washed their feet. And He set forth that example. I think about the task that so many of us are given in life. When God gives a task, the only legitimate response is obedience. Amen? I don't care what the task is. I don't care how difficult it is. I don't care if it seems that it's insurmountable. It's something I can never do. This is something I'll never achieve. If God says do it, go. I think about Adam and Eve. In the life of Adam and Eve, after they had sinned, they feared God. But God told them to go and to populate the earth outside of the garden. And they obeyed God and they went forth and they did. I think about Moses at that burning bush. He told Moses to go forward and lead an exodus. And he went and he did. I think about later in the life of Moses, how that he told him to lead his people through the wilderness to a promised land, and he questioned it at times. I believed he wondered about it, but he did. I think about the life of Gideon, when Gideon had to pray, Lord, is this really me or is it you? Is this really what you want me to do? And when he knew that it was God's will, he went. I think about the life of Paul, how that he was, instead of to go back to the places that he had ministered to before, how that God led him to Philippi, and how that God sent him to Europe to evangelize to the Gentile world. And Paul went. And Paul did what God wanted him to do. He's obedient. Job was obedient, and he did a simple task. He forgave of his friends, who in his greatest hours of need had betrayed him. And I want to encourage you finish out the last part of the book of Job. It's a great story. God blessed Job richly because of his obedience. And I want to tell you something, church. God will bless us if we will be obedient to Him. God will bless you and be merciful and graceful if you'll be obedient to Him. Whatever God is asking you to do, whatever God is wanting you to do, be obedient. God will bless it richly. Maybe you're here and you've never known Christ Jesus. You've never invited Him into your heart and your life. And you're sitting here today knowing beyond a doubt that you are lost and undone. I know that the Holy Spirit is drawing you nigh to be saved. If you'll be obedient today, obedient to that call of salvation, the Word of God says that He's faithful and He's just and He's willing to forgive. If you'll but come and trust in Him today, you can know what it means to truly experience grace and mercy. As our praise and our worship team comes, we're going to close out a time of preaching and we come now to a time of response. This is that moment for you to be obedient. If it's a call to salvation, be obedient. You come and invite Jesus Christ into your heart and you come and invite Christ into your life. Maybe you're here today and you want to reach out and pray for somebody whom that you know is suffering greatly, going through a difficult time. You can come this morning and this altar is open to you, or you can bring somebody with you to pray, or I'd be happy to pray with you. Maybe you don't know what to pray. One of the great things is this, is the Word of God tells us if we don't know what to pray and how to pray, that the Holy Spirit can pray for us. You come this morning. Be obedient to His call. This altar is a place that you can come and pray. Maybe you're here and you want to make other decisions about coming and calling this your home church. You come and you respond. However God is working on your heart this morning, be obedient, just like Job was obedient, like Paul was obedient, like Christ was obedient, as the Word of God says, even unto the death of a sinner, the death of the cross. Come this morning. Lord, as we close out now this time of preaching, Lord, we come to a time of response, a time of obedience. Lord, I pray that like Job and others, Lord, in Your Word, we'll have respect for You. Respect for Your power, Your majesty. Lord, Father, I pray that if there's somebody here who's never known Your grace, Lord, I pray that today they'll come and be saved. Lord, I know there are people in our church family that are hurting immensely. Lord, I pray that they'll come to this altar and I pray that they'll lay their burdens right here at the foot of Your cross. Lord, Father, however You're leading Your people today, I pray they just be obedient. Lord, it's all this we ask in Your holy, precious name. Amen.
Let's all stand together.